Actually, on the baby note, something so cute happened this morning. Just to give you a little preface, before we tuck Oliver in bed, we read him this book that has a shark that sneezes. And so this morning, I woke up to the sound of ah, 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 and about 10 or 15 ahs, he goes, ah-choo. And I was like, oh, so you were sneezing this entire time. That was a lengthy sneeze, buddy. And I thought it was very adorable. He wasn't sneezing for real. I think he was just remembering the book. And I just cracked up, and it was a really good way to start my morning because I was just like, what is he doing? And he just, ah-choos right at the end and goes, Ollie, bless you. And I said, okay, Ollie, bless you. And it was adorable. I wasn't in the room. I was watching him on the monitor. But it was really funny. It was cute. I have a newborn. He is 6 weeks old of Tuesday. And he is adorable. His name is Sullivan, Dean. And we went through a nice little phase where he was sick in the hospital. So thank you guys for all of your prayers. We appreciate the prayers that were given out to us. He is doing great. He is fine. He is home hanging out with mom. But we are quarantining for the next little while in order for him to get fully better. And so it is a great adventure having newborns. But without further ado, let's go ahead and dive in today. If you had been with us for the past couple of weeks, Pastor Ben and Pastor Roger have been bringing in a message from our series called Light It Up. It's being a light to our world. And it is so important, and it is so life-changing. So if you have been with us, or if you haven't been with us, I would still recommend going on to our website, finding the sermons, and watching them or rewatching them, because it is so challenging, and it is so important for us to be challenged. And so I encourage you to go and watch those. And as you watch them, allow God to speak to you. Because a lot of times in conversations, when we're having our worship time with the Lord or our prayer time with the Lord, sitting silently and just letting God speak to you is so important. The theme scripture for our year and for this Lighted Up series is found in Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to read through verse 16, but it says this. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine for others so that you may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." What's very unique about this passage of scripture is that Jesus is talking to a very large group of people. He's talking from people with so many different backgrounds coming together to listen to him preach. And I find this to be very evident that he did this for a reason, and he preached this for a reason because of, to me, what he's referring to all of these people that are listening to his word, are they are saying to them, you matter. I care for you. You are a light specifically, and I want you to shine that light. And that is so powerful for a lot of people to hear. It's so powerful for us to know that God needs us and wants us. He wants to use us in any form or fashion that we are allowing him to use us in. And so here, he's very specific. He says that you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill, which is so important. And so as I was reading the scripture, I was really diving into the word this past couple of weeks as I've known that I was getting ready to preach. And what I love about the way that God kind of ministers to my heart to prepare myself to minister to you is he begins to convict my own heart. He begins to share the message he has for me, and it begins to work in me really deeply. And it really begins to change my heart, my perspective. He challenges me, and again, I love it. And he's sitting here working in my heart, and it kind of brought to my recollection as he was working in my heart, telling me about a time in my life where I had a problem. And my problem that I had was my problem of comparison. Meaning that as I was growing up in the church, I had the opportunity to see great speakers, worship pastors, youth pastors, evangelists, missionaries, you name it. I was a part of conferences and all of these things, and I got to witness so many talented, gifted by the Lord people. And I was sitting there knowing to myself that I was called into ministry of some form or fashion. And so I began to sit there and compare myself to all of these great people, all of these great ministers. And as I compared myself, I began to do myself a disservice because as I would compare, I would say to myself, I'm not as good as that person, so this must not be my calling. And so I would bounce around from ministry to ministry trying to find where I, quote unquote, belonged. And so as that began to happen, I began to realize that that's not how it's supposed to be done. I was sitting in a youth rally or a conference of some sort, and during the worship time, I felt the Lord tell me this. He said, that comparison of others' gifts to yours is the start of the death of your progress. The comparison of the other gifts to yours is the start of the death of your progress. Meaning that if I continue to compare myself to other people and I try to act like other people, not like the way that God intended me to, but I was trying to put on a facade, I would begin to see my progress that he had for me, those steps that he had for me, begin to slowly stop. I would slow down and not be as effective as I could be for what the Lord had for me. And as this happened, I began to think about the Psalms and Psalms, Psalms 119, verses 104 through 106, and it says, through your precepts or your instructions, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. None, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. And as I began to sit there and I read this scripture, the word path really stuck out to me. The word instructions really stood out to me. It says, God has orchestrated my steps. God has orchestrated all of our steps. He has a plan and a purpose for all of you. What I love is it talks about that he knew you before you were knitted in your mother's womb. He was ready for who you were. It doesn't matter if you think to yourself that I don't belong in this time era, I don't belong to this family, I don't belong here. The thing is, God has orchestrated you here on earth now for a very specific reason, a very unique reason, and I love that about him. And because I was sitting there thinking about this word path, you know, this it gets brought to me my attention that, you know, I look at this idea of path. And I know that it is going to be a windy path a little bit sometimes in the sense of the directions that I take and that my path may intertwine with other people's paths. And that's the opportunity for me to bring light into people's lives with the gifts and the talents that God has given me. But as I was reading that, a buddy of mine was telling me, he recommended a book called Stay in Your Lane. Stay in Your Lane. And I like that because of how many of us like to drive, and or how many of us just, you don't have to like to drive, but how many of you guys drive, right? In the sense of, as you're driving down the road, and I'm not going to point out any fingers to anybody in here because I think all of you guys are the best drivers, but the idea is, how many of us have accidentally, a child in the back screaming, a phone goes off, your wife or husband talking to you, and you have a tendency to veer out of your path and potentially into the lane of somebody else next to you. Or you've had somebody that wasn't paying attention drift into your lane, and it causes danger, it causes fear, it causes panic. Problems potentially may arise from the situation. And as I was reading this book saying stay in your lane, that really stuck out to me, especially with this Psalms verse about being a light into my feet and a light into my path. Or sorry, the word is a lamp into my feet and a light into my path. And as I was reading that, I just always chuckle because I think to myself, stay in your lane. And what hit me and what God kind of revealed to me was staying in your lane is so important. Yes, we are to help people out. Yes, 100%. But we are not to take the light that God has given us to try to show the sin of others or try to show the problems of others. But God has given us a light so that we may walk a straight path, that we may walk a path that he has intended, so that we can take the steps that he has orchestrated for us. And for a lot of us, taking those types of steps is very difficult. Taking steps instead of leaping steps is very difficult. Because a lot of times, the lamp that he has given us only lights up one or two steps. He doesn't give us the entire picture because he knows that if he gave us the entire picture, how many of you guys like to control things, right? How many of you guys like to do what you like to do? And in doing so, he'll give you this entire picture. And then you're asking, could I not do that up there? You know, he's sitting there giving you guys two steps, one step, in order for you to take a step with faith And then if he gave you guys all 9 to 10 steps of this process, then we'd have a tendency to mess it up because of steps 1 and 2 are preparing us for steps 3 and 4. Steps 3 and 4 for steps 5 and 6 and so on and so forth. If we skip all of these steps that we are supposed to be taking, we are not prepared. And like a good father, God is trying to prepare you for what he's about to send you into, or what you're about to walk into. Because of he wants to take care of you, because of his good father, our father in heaven, wants what's best for us. We all know that. The perfect father wants what's perfect for us. And so he tries to guide our steps, light up our path. Sometimes we don't want to do that. Sometimes we're saying, no, 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 this path looks cooler. Or no, 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 this path looks easier. But God's saying, I need you to be challenged right now. I need you to learn something right now so that when steps 5 come, you're okay. You're not going to regress back beyond steps 2 and 1. I don't know if you can go into negative steps, but potentially, you know. But he is trying to prepare our hearts for what we have. But a lot of times, because of comparison, we sit there and we begin to really mess ourselves up. And we begin to compare what other people are doing. And we begin to look at God and say, God, but they had it so easy. But God, I want it that way. And God say, no. The circumstances in your life, specifically, you need to go through this in order for you to be able to shine the light that I have for you the best. The gifts and talents that I am working in you right now is for you specifically, because of you are going to meet and interact and encounter situations and people that are very specific to who you are. And so God is preparing your heart for what he needs you to do and what he wants us to do. As the body of Christ, we have opportunities to be a light to our community and the people around us. We sit there sometimes in our workplaces. We sit there in our schools. We sit there or wherever we're at. And as we begin to sit there, we begin to sometimes feel as if we're the only light in the room. Has anybody ever felt that way before? Within your families, within the people around you, and you sit there and you think to yourself, I am the only light in this area. And my question to you when I ask you that is, do other people see that light in you? The reason why I ask that is because of the light of Jesus that we all have in us is so genuine. It's so pure. People are drawn to this light, and the reason why they're drawn to this light is because of how genuine it is. A lot of people can tell when somebody's not being genuine, when somebody's being fake, when somebody isn't doing the right thing, and then people are repelled from that. But when we're sitting there and we're recognizing that the light that Jesus has for us shines so much brighter than anything that the world can offer, because of what the world can offer is temporary, but what God is offering is eternal. It's so important for us to allow people to see that light shining out of us. That light does so good work. It does such a good work because of I have seen time and time again, in like the last 15 years of my ministry, people would come in through the church doors. People would walk in and be like, what am I doing here? I felt a calling in my heart. I felt a drawn in my spirit to walk through these doors of this church, and I don't know why. And I love to tell them it's because the light is shining bright through this church, through this people that are here. They're wanting to minister to you. They're wanting to be with you, and God is directing their steps and getting them here for an opportunity for a life-changing encounter. And as God is bringing them into this life-changing encounter, we as a church get to be a part of that. And going back to the steps that we are taking, because the path that he has lit for us, what's very unique is that when we are walking this path, the step that we take is uniquely enough to where God had you here for a reason, because the first step that you take may also be very similar and the same as the step that somebody else is taking. And that light that you have at your feet, that light that you have to be able to see, is going to allow you to help minister to the other people. because of you could be in two different situations in your life where one person's over here, a brand new Christian, just started, and you have somebody over here that has been studying the word for years and years, and you guys will end up on the same step or the same path. And you're thinking, well, how is that possible? Well, because of this, God has been orchestrating those steps so that the person that has been studying the word of God, that has been had an opportunity to have God speak to him, comes encounter with the person that doesn't know anything about God, and now they have an opportunity to minister to that person. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful that the steps that we take, God has orchestrated so that we may grow and learn? Because what the person who has been studying for years needed was an opportunity to witness and to minister to somebody so that they could grow in that, so that they can minister to other people as well, so they feel more comfortable, more confident, whatever it is. And the person that is also on that same step that needed to hear the word of Jesus gets to hear that. And that begins the transformation of their life. And then they continue on. But sometimes we sit there and we think that we're stuck on a step. How many of you guys have ever felt stuck? You're stuck on a step. You don't know where you're going. You don't know how to progress. And God's sitting there telling you, you're like, God, why am I still doing this? God, why am I not feeling anything different? And he's sitting there trying to provoke you to tell you, hey, I have something more for you. Study more. Pray more. Minister to people around you more. There's something here in this spot that I need you to do. I need you to grow. Because of as you grow, that light that you have begins to burn brighter, begins to shine brighter. And he's wanting you to get that light inside of you to begin to shine brighter and brighter. The next portion of scripture that I'm going to read to you guys is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 29. I'll give you guys a second to get there. But just a little preface, this is Paul writing letters to the Corinthians, to the Corinth people, the Corinthians. And as he's talking to them, there's a problem with comparison, right? Comparison isn't a new thing. Comparison has been going on for years and years and years, to where people think to themselves, that person has it better. I want what that person has. But the enemy is doing his best to continue to enable us, to continue to try to stop the progress of what God has intended for you. And it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 29. It's a little long. Bear with me because it's good. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Stopping there, we get to recognize that it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your background, where you came from, God is trying to use you. We are all of one spirit. We all operate out of the same spirit. The spirit that is so powerful, the light that we get to use is so important, and we need to be using it. Continues on, it says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing come from? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell come from? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each of them as he chose. God has arranged the members of the body, each of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with great modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. This part of scripture, though was long, is so important to show how important the body of Christ is. The light that you have, that God has given you, the gifts and the talents, all come together to make a beautiful picture. All come together to be unique because God has created you uniquely. I like to say this, I'm a youth pastor. There are thousands and thousands of other youth pastors out there. But because of God has chosen me uniquely to be where I am at now, I have what I would call, let's just call it the youth pastor color blue, right? All of the youth pastors are blue. But because of God has chosen me uniquely, I know that the blue that my light shines is a little bit different than somebody else's. Because God has placed me here for a reason. Though I may be a youth pastor like other youth pastors, God has chosen me specifically for where I'm at. Just like he's chosen everybody in here for where you're at. He is working in you. He is molding you. He is shaping you to be who you are meant to be right now. And we have to be open to that. We can't allow comparison to happen like it happens here because people are like, well, I want to be the more important eye. I want to be able to see things, right? And then, you know, you turn out to be like a pinky toe, you know? And then you're like, well, I've heard, I don't know if this is true, but like a pinky toe, if you lose that sucker, you fall over. And so I was like, that's pretty important to me. And then I was kind of chuckling too. And I said, well, without your pinky toe, you know, what would find furniture in the dark when you're trying to go to the bathroom at night? You know, because like they're there. They got reasons, right? And I'm just kind of being silly. But the thing is like we sit there and people will compare themselves and say that I'm not as great as that person. But then God comes back and says, on the contrary, you are indispensable. The enemy wants to tell you that you're dispensable. He wants to tell you that your gifts, your talents, the light you have will never shine brighter than anybody else's. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible specifically says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker because the enemy is trying to tell you that you're not good enough, they are indispensable. And those parts of the body that think they are less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. God is using us right now. God is using every person in here right now. And he's working and working. And I love that so much because of how great our Father is. He's not going to let anybody go to the wayside. He has put you here for a reason. He's given you the light of the world for a reason. Use it. Use it and shine bright. Shine bright. Allow Jesus to come through you. Because, again, it's challenging sometimes whenever you're in a room and you feel like you're the only light. And so you kind of shade that light a little bit. But how many guys have ever been in a situation where you felt like you're the only person in the room and then you find out that a coworker or a family member or a friend is also a Christian and they're like, hey, me too, right? It's exciting. But then you sit there and think to yourself, huh, why didn't I recognize that person was a Christian? Why was I not able to see that light? Why were they not able to see that light in me? And then it's challenging because then you recognize because of how bright that light is that we have, the Holy Spirit moving through us because of how many people are drawn to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. How many people are drawn to those types of people, right? If you're exuding the Holy Spirit, if you're exuding that light of Jesus, people are going to be drawn to you, like I mentioned earlier. And so if people are drawn to you, it gives you an opportunity then to do what? To minister to that person. And I'm saying minister, I mean just being that light to that person. And then what's cool is when that person catches that light, then now there's two of you. And it makes it so much easier, right? The brighter, the better. Because of how many of you guys have, again, woken up in the middle of the night, there was no light, but your eyes are kind of adjusting, but maybe the closet light was on, so it's a little bright, so you're kind of just like looking like this, hoping that you're not going to stub a toe. And then you turn a light on, you're like, oh, I can see everything. It's so much brighter in here. I can see more clearly. And God uses people in our lives to help that, right? So you have one person that ministers to one, and then those two minister to another two, which makes four, and then those four to eight, and then eight to 16, and then 16 to 32, and then my math stops there. And so it continues. It continues, because I didn't want to say the wrong number just then. But it continues, which is awesome, because of the thing is like I said earlier, is I love it when people show up to this church and they say, I don't know why I'm here. And I was like, because of the light has drawn you here. The people have come together collectively as one body, and that light shines so powerfully. And now, the trick is, I say trick, the opportunity is, as Christians, we are to want to minister to this person. And so we have opportunities to come in contact with this person. And sometimes we find ourselves to being on that same step that that person is. And then it gives us an opportunity to minister. The challenging part for a lot of us, though, is we have to recognize that we're on the same step as that person. And we have to step out boldly and actually minister to that person. Sacrifice a little bit of time in order to minister to that person. God has orchestrated this for us, and he's allowing us to have an opportunity to be the light to somebody. Don't shade it. Don't put the basket over it, right? Don't put the basket over it whenever you have an opportunity to minister to somebody. God is trying to do something in your life through this opportunity to minister. And again, ministering, yes, it's preaching the word of Jesus, yes, but it's also just being nice, lending a helping hand, having an opportunity to do something for this person, to show them love, joy, peace, the Holy Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. And that's an opportunity that nobody should want to pass up. That's an opportunity that we need to take advantage of because it grows us. How many of you guys like to grow, right? You know, grow like emotionally and spiritually and the health, right? We like to grow that way. And so challenge yourself to grow. Challenge yourself, push yourself, right? I challenge my students day in and day out, and I tell them this. I said, the friends that you have in school, so I can say this, the people at your job, the people within your life, if you don't bring them to church, I, as a pastor, speaking to you guys, never have an opportunity to minister to them. I may never meet that person, but guess who is always meeting with that person? You. And God is opening up doors to allow you to speak to these people, to shine the light that you have to these people, and it's so important. It may be slow progression. It doesn't have to be so aggressive right off the bat. It may just be showing a little bit of that love, a little bit of that joy, being there when they need you, but then opportunities will arise to where you can capitalize on being that light and show people how good God is. And it's so important for you to be able to recognize that. And so I challenge you to really look. And so as we go on, I'm going to kind of wrap it up here. So a couple of questions that I'm going to ask you, but I'm going to answer rhetorical. It says, so how do I find this light? A lot of us may have been Christians for a while or may not be a Christian at all or just started, and we're sitting there like, Daniel, you're talking about this light. How am I to find it? Well, honestly, turn to Jesus, right? As simple as it is, it may sound a little weird or complicated, but it's not. Turn to Jesus and begin to pray and say, Jesus, I need you. Knock on the door, and he's going to answer, and he's going to begin to reveal himself to you. And as he reveals himself to you, you're sitting there, okay, so what do I do now? Well, what does Psalms 119 say? It says that your word, the Bible, is the lamp into my feet and the light into my path. It says that this is the instructions that we need in order for us to see, to take that next step in that journey. So we sit there and we find Jesus. We seek him. And after we seek him, we read his word, because his word is the instructions and the light to our path. And then third of all, which I believe will happen if you're reading the Bible and you're seeking Jesus, he'll begin to reveal something to you very important. He'll tell you this. He'll tell you that the greatest commandments in the Bible is to love God above all, and then to love people. To love God and to love people. And I believe that if we're loving God and we're loving people, he is going to begin to bring peace in your life, joy in your life, reconciliation. He'll begin to show you what genuine supernatural giftings are that he has for us. What I love about the world, I say love about the world, it's kind of an ironic love. What I like about the world, or whatever you want to say, is that there are so many options for temporary happiness, right? There are so many things that we can fill the gap, fill the void with, but we all recognize that it's temporary, right? But what Jesus has for us, the light that he has given us, is eternal. And that is so powerful. And so we love God and we love people. And a lot of people are like, well, I don't have time to do that. I don't know how to do that. And the challenge is just do it, right? Nike it. Just do it, right? The thing is we need to challenge ourselves to push beyond those comfortability boundaries that we have. Because how many of you guys like the walls you have? I've set this boundary. It's very safe. I like it. This is where Daniel stands. That's where you stand, and we're good. Step out of that boundary. Use that light. Take that shade off your light a little bit more to move forward in progress, to take that next step. Because of, again, we're not meant to stand still. We're not meant to sit still in our walk with the Lord. This is a continuous battle moving forward. We are moving forward constantly. And then the moment we stop, just to be real honest with you, it's the opportunity for the enemy to step in. The moment we stop our journey with the Lord and we stop ministering to people, we stop reading his Bible, we stop praying. I mean, every relationship is this way. If you were married to your wife or your husband and you never spoke to them and you didn't put any effort in, I don't think that marriage would last very long. The thing is, with our relationship with God, it's the same way. If you're not praying to him, if you're not speaking to him, if you're not connecting with him, I don't know how long that relationship with Jesus is going to last anymore. Because we are needing to constantly be moving forward, constantly challenging ourselves. We don't want to sit at this plateau level. We need to be moving forward. We need to be taking those steps that he has orchestrated for us. Stepping out in faith is hard, but yet it is so important because that is where progress begins. I'm going to invite the worship team back up to the stage as I kind of wrap us up here. But the idea is it's so important for us to be able to recognize where we are with our steps that we are taking. We sit here and we want to sit there and be that light to the world, which is so important, and it's so good. Because of, again, how many of you guys know the world is a pretty dark place? And then you guys have an opportunity. God has orchestrated steps in your life for you to be that light of the world, to be that very specific and unique light to the world. Because again, don't allow the enemy to tell you that what you have is just like everybody else's. The light you have is just like everybody else's. No, God has given you giftings and talents so that you can show Jesus uniquely where you're at. He called you here for that reason. He called you here for this era for that reason. Because he knows you. He knows your heart. He knew what you went through. And he knows how important it is for you to be that light to people. So again, seek Jesus first. Find that light. And if you have it, begin to challenge yourself. Second is read his word. Allow him to begin to reveal to you that path that he has for you. It may be one or two steps, but that's okay. Because know this, he is preparing you for something great. He's a good father who has something great for everybody in here. And because of how good he is, just trust in him and have faith that the steps you're going to take are going to better you. And then lastly, love God and then love people. And he'll take care of the rest, man. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for who you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your passion, your compassion, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you stand in that gap. Lord God, when we're not strong, you are. When we're weak, you are strong. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us a place in the body, Lord God. We thank you for giving us the light of the world. Lord God, we thank you that we have the opportunities that you have given us, Lord God, to step out and to speak. Now, Lord God, I pray boldness over everybody in here. That, Lord God, that they will begin to take that shade off of that light, that they'll be able to shine brighter day in and day out, Lord God, that they will grow. That they will grow, Lord God, in you. And we thank you, Lord God, for that. We thank you for your love. We don't deserve it, but yet you give it. And you are a good Father. And we praise you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. As Pastor Ben mentioned before I got started, we are doing baptisms today. And so if this sermon kind of pressed on your heart and you feel as if you want to take that next step, and that next step is getting baptized, you can meet Pastor Ben back there at the Next Step station. And again, I challenge you, if it's not this week, we do it once a month, but I would challenge you to not let that sit for a whole month before we baptize again, to really lean into it, to go back there and to have a conversation with Pastor Ben. Thank you, guys.